It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Zero.
We have a show, right?
Order! Order! Come to order. Welcome inside, Gwen and Chris, the Wednesday edition. Yes, there's no sport court today, but I got this wig sent to me by a great listener, Nate Taylor, out there. So I thought I'd wear it to begin the proceedings.
The proceedings this evening.
On this Wednesday, we are a day ahead of one of the best sports days of the year. Best sports days you could possibly have, not only opening day for the Padres tomorrow, home opener, but also the Aztecs, getting set for the Sweet 16, and I'm here to order victories for both the Aztecs and the Padres tomorrow. We'll see what we can get done. Tony Gwynn Jr. is alongside, and also Matt Scraby as we get started here with a full four-hour program. Matt Snyder from CBS Sports, great baseball guy, will help us preview the upcoming 2024 baseball season. We'll also begin our baseball preview here on this program with a look at the AL and NL West division races.
Boom.
And award winners. So that's coming up a little bit later on. But before we get to all of that, welcome into Tony Gwynn Jr. Good to have you back after your worldwide trip and the calm before the storm today, Tony.
What's up, everybody? Good to be back.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been back for a little bit, but
right.
Today is probably the first day I actually feel normal, not tired, not hitting a wall at about 2:30, and you got 30 more minutes to really figure out if that's actually true, but I feel a lot better. More importantly, I'm happy to be in studio with you guys. How are you guys?
Let me get the glasses on here. I don't know that this is a great look with the white wig and my black eyebrows.
I gotta say, the what you look like on camera right now, I think this may be your new look, and I'm not kidding.
Should just go with this every day?
Yeah, it looks great.
Just go with this.
That would be hilarious.
First of all, I can't go with this with the glasses because they're not prescription. I can't actually see anything. But yeah, thanks to Nate for sending this in. We're not having a sports court today, but the next time we have it, I'll have gavel in hand. He sent me a gavel too, so thank you, Nate. If you want to see what's going on here, you can join us on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan, and away we go. I spent all day, all morning scouring the internet for anybody, anywhere, anyhow, Tony, who thinks that the Aztecs have a chance tomorrow against UConn. And I couldn't find anyone. Couldn't find a single taker out there. Pretty much across the board. Connecticut. Jay Billis, who we all respect quite a bit, ranked the final 16 teams and their chances to win the NCAA tournament. He ranked the Aztecs 16th. Now, I don't think he meant that he feels they're the worst team remaining. He just feels worst like chance. They have the least chance of winning because they have to play UConn in the first game. So it kind of goes like that all around. Said Jay Billis, if San Diego State shoots like they did against Yale when they hit 13 threes, he said they can give UConn a game. He didn't say they could beat him. He just said if they shoot like that, they can give him a game. Without that, he said UConn way too strong. The ride will end in the Sweet 16. I respect UConn as much as the next guy. There's nothing not to respect about that team. I mean, they look like an absolute juggernaut. But I think people are diminishing, you know, what the Aztecs have done here the last 2 years. The Aztecs are not a, you know, shocking Sweet 16 team. They're not, didn't just come out of nowhere. Scrappy, what are you doing? You are all over the studio right now. Wires are running and you're moving back and forth. You're disturbing me.
Order! Order!
Scrappy, go sit down in your bailiff chair where you're supposed to be. Jeez.
This guy is
walking behind everybody. Disaster.
I mean,
Chris's ADHD was not happy with you walking all over the place while he's in the middle of his monologue.
My courtroom here. My courtroom here. Get it organized.
It's amazing.
Are you all ready? Now, you all set now?
Your camera's not quite right there, buddy.
Now your camera's messed up. Yes, everybody's letting me know.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you want those extra people letting you know.
Well,
I just don't think people are giving the Aztecs the credit that they deserve for making it to a national championship game and following that up, Tony, with a Sweet 16 appearance. This is a program that had been to two Sweet 16s in its history. Now it's made it back-to-back, and it's got a lot of the same players that it had last year. And I was, you know, Scrappy and I were talking about this yesterday. I know the Aztecs should be underdog. They are underdog. But the fact that these kids have all faced UConn already, or most of them, the key guys have, I think that gives them an edge that most teams would not have heading into this game. They know what to expect.
Yeah, maybe with the exception of the other Big East teams that UConn has played. I think it's a lot to do about nothing. I think everybody's opinion is based solely off of what they've seen UConn do to the other opponents. And there's just no other way to get around it. I have picked the Aztecs to win. In my bracket?
Yeah. You have.
But, I mean, if we're being honest, they should be and are the big an underdog. Yeah. I don't know how big of an underdog, but they definitely should be the underdog.
Yeah. I mean, it opened at 9.5 points. I've actually seen it at 11.5
points. Yeah, it's gone up.
So that tells me that most people are betting UConn. And here's the reason to bet UConn. They've won 8 consecutive tournament games the last 2 years, and every one of them by at least 15 points. Yeah. Nobody's been within a dozen points of these guys, and that goes for everybody who's played them the last 2 years. I mean, they shot, UConn shot 1 of 11 from 3 in the second half the other day, and they were still 30 points ahead of Northwestern, even with that. So it's not like you can sit here and go, well, I hope they're, you know, maybe they just, their shots won't be falling. Well, they weren't falling the other day.
Yeah.
And they still won with a lot of room to spare.
I mean, the Aztecs, even in that final last year, played defense as well as probably anybody played against UConn during that tournament last year. And yet the Aztecs still fell pretty short when it came to the final results. Now, I love your point that there's whatever fear factor or whatever question marks they had going in the last year's game, there's going to be less of that this year because they kind of know what to expect. And, you know, hopefully that can be an edge that they have as they go into that game. But
how are you looking at me without just breaking up? I'm impressed. She's staring right at me, and I'm wearing this ridiculous wig, and you're just treating it like it's any old day. You're just not having any problem with this.
I think it's a good look for
right
there.
I actually do. It does actually make you look more.
It's not making me like, what is Chris doing?
Yeah.
Like, why
you're
is
just
he
like,
that?
You're just treating it like it's a very normal thing that I'm wearing this.
Like, if I were to
I wear it every other day, and it's just the first time I put it on camera.
If I were to just randomly tune in today for the first day, I would look
you would
at Chris
think that this is what
like,
I just look like?
Yeah.
If you'd never seen the show before on YouTube, you just go, yes. Oh, wow, that's what Chris Hello looks like.
Yeah,
okay.
You got like a mullet, like a Benjamin Franklin mullet going
interesting.
On.
All right. Well, you guys, it's coming off after this segment, but not going to deal with it much longer. But no, I like what you're saying. I mean, here's the other thing, a couple of things. I mean, I'm trying to find ways, you know. But I like Mark Ziegler's point in the paper the other day. When they played UConn last year, they only had a day to prepare for the game because you win on the Saturday semifinal, you play Monday night in the championship. And evidently, UConn has one of the most intricate offenses in college basketball. And I don't know the X's and O's of all this stuff, but they run a lot of sets, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And Mark Ziegler pointed out that the Aztecs didn't have time to get ready for all of it. This time they have a full 3-4 days to prepare. That should help them deal with what UConn does. So, I mean, I like that. And the Aztecs are already pretty good at playing with house money. I mean, they went into Alabama game last year. Now, I was looking it up. They were only a 6.5-point underdog to Alabama. So there were some people who thought, you know, that if things went well, they could maybe oust Alabama. But there is, I'm not finding anybody that thinks they're going to win this one. So, you know, why not? Why not us again? You know, Butler made it to back-to-back championship games, 2010 and 11. And there's also this, the last national championship team in college basketball to advance past the Sweet 16 was Florida in 2007. So UConn's, on their part, trying to accomplish something that nobody has done in 17 years, which is get to the Elite Eight after winning the national championship.
So, maybe, just maybe, it's meant for the Aztecs to win.
Yeah, maybe it is. Why not? Why not again?
Either That's way, what I'm going with.
You go with that. You stick with that, and I hope it works. We will be on the air following Padre baseball tomorrow, and so we'll be keeping you up to date on the Aztec game. And anybody who saw any of the videos that Scraby shot of me watching the Alabama game last year will want to tune in on YouTube and watch me watch tomorrow's game because I will be.
Oh yeah,
I'll be outlandish.
And we are set up for the video now, so you can just see Chris live and die with every single thing.
I hope
happens.
I have a chance to live and die. I really do. I hope it's not one of those.
I hope our experience is as good as mine's was last night watching the Lakers. It was living.
I was thinking
and
of you
dying through every possession because that would mean we got ourselves a ball game.
You got a chance.
Yeah,
you got a chance. It was a great win by the Lakers last night. I am more convinced than ever, and the Lakers are the 9th seed right now. But I'm still more convinced than ever, despite what Charles Barkley wants to dismiss them, etc. Somebody is going to have to find a way to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. You're going to have to beat them 4 times. LeBron James is going to play every one of those games. Anthony Davis is ridiculous. Their support cast, I mean, with Reeves and Dinwiddie, I think those two are legit. I know the Lakers are going to be going uphill, but they did it last year, got to the conference final. Every time they come up on a big game like this, Tony, they show up. The problem is this year they've taken nights off against some of the lesser teams.
And that's something
tonight.
That's
why they're where they are.
That's something tonight. Now, LeBron sounds like he's going to play.
Tonight?
But Memphis is one of the – you just come off this high of coming back from 19 down last night.
With 8 minutes to go. There was nothing left in that game.
They – now turn the page on a back-to-back to Memphis. You got to get this win. Because the reality is, they got to get out of not only the 8th spot, but they got to get out of the 9th spot, but they got to get out of the 8th spot. Because number one at the top of that bad boy is the Denver Nuggets. And so,
if you're in the 8-9 spot, if you do win the play-in, you're going to play the Nuggets, is what you're saying.
You got to get out of that spot because the Lakers,
that's the kryptonite for the Lakers. They can't beat the Nuggets right now. I would not put this past the Lakers at all. I mean, I'm looking at the standings. They're 2 games back of Phoenix for the 8th spot. You know, they we'll see, you know, what they end up. They're 40-32. They got 10 games remaining in the regular season. But after watching that game last night, I'm pretty sold on the Lakers being a contender in the West. And I think they're a better contender even than Oklahoma City and a better contender than Minnesota and maybe even Sacramento. You know, Sacramento got a little experience last year, but those teams don't have the kind of experience that the Lakers do.
They slipped into the play-in spot last night. They lost to Dallas. Dallas slides into the sixth spot.
Wow.
You got to get into that 7-8 because that at least gives you a shot at 7 where you, if you're the Lakers, you play an OKC team who you've handled well all season long. So that's where they want to get to, I think, before the season. And in order to do that, I think you're going to need, what, 45-6?
Well, you got 40 and you got 10 games left. So you win 7 of those, you get 47.
I think that's
where that puts
them. I think that can get you to the 7th spot.
Well,
Sacramento's, what, 42 wins right now?
Let me see. It's pretty bunched up in the West. You got Dallas with 43. Sacramento and Phoenix have 42. And the Lakers have 40. The good news for the Lakers is unless they lose every game, they're not going to fall back.
No, yeah.
They're pretty comfortably ahead of Golden State. Golden State's the team that has to worry because they're just a game ahead of Houston
Rockets.
Now. The Rockets are creeping up on them. The Rockets have won 9 in a row. I didn't even notice that.
You can tell the Rockets are pissing people off because they seem to be in some type of scrum every night now.
Are they getting
that? Well, you saw the one with, I think it was DeRozan.
They got DeRozan thrown out of the game.
They popped Green coming off of screen. He was having too much fun, so he hip-checked him, basically.
Yeah, I saw the Caruso the other night against Washington. Yeah. Went running down the floor to shove Jordan Poole.
Yeah, Poole kind of...
He was lucky that he
put a shoulder in his chest, and he didn't like it.
Caruso raced the whole court
and just
shoved him to the ground.
Yeah, he did.
On and on the games go. Well, that was a really impressive win for the Lakers, and I think it announces them once again as a contender, you know, to come out of the West despite where they are in the standings. All right, that's the basketball talk, and we'll talk more about all this stuff as we go along. But, of course, going to focus in on opening day for the Padres. Tomorrow, Yu Darvish will face the Giants' Logan Webb, who's always pitched well against the Padres. Heck, he pitches well against everybody. So they'll have their work cut out for them tomorrow. But we'll talk about opening day and what's to come. When we return, Matt Snyder will join us in this hour. He'll have a baseball season preview with us from CBS Sports. So sit back, relax.
Was he hitting his hand?
I was hitting my hand, but that didn't really work.
I'm not sure he should have the gavel. I'm not sure.
I'm going to hit you with the gavel.
It's too small to do damage.
Don't be so sure.
Okay.
Gwen and Chris underway. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Glad you're with us on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's indeed 2:22 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, the gang back at it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow afternoon, 1:10, Giants, Padres, Logan Webb versus Yu Darvish should be a good one. I'm sure it's going to be pandemonium tomorrow.
Tony Gwynn opening day is Friday.
Yes, yes. Come on back on Friday.
Come on back on Friday for the Joe Musgrove, Kyle Harrison.
For the real opening
matchup.
Day.
Harrison is being tabbed as a potential NL Rookie of the Year candidate. Going to start for the Giants on Friday. Jordan Hicks, the fireballer. They've announced will start Saturday against Dylan Cease. Bob Melvin still playing at coy for Sunday. As far as the Giants pitcher, Michael King will start Sunday for the Padres.
Who'd you say is? Oh, Jordan Hicks.
Hicks will start the third game.
As a baseball fan, I'm looking for, I want to see this. This is a guy who throws upwards over 100 miles per hour as a closer.
Yeah. What will he do as a starter?
Yeah. What it's going to look like?
Giants paid him a bunch of money.
The results, at least in the spring, looked pretty good from what I saw. So. That'll be a matchup to watch. But anyway, season gets back going after the Padres started the season in Korea, going 1-1, winning the last game in big fashion in terms of all the offense that
was put
out.
You know, we haven't really talked about is like the Korean fans, and we didn't really get to talk about the game experience. Was it a lot different, or was it like, did it feel like a major league game?
No, it didn't feel like a major league game.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
It doesn't, because you've got cheerleaders up and down the dugout, first of all.
All day. Well, yeah. They're on one. So, first of all, we were in glass case. So, you know, it was already a little weird.
Atmosphere at all for you.
And then on top of that, I don't know. It just didn't seem like it's a small stadium. So,
Looks huge on TV.
Let me pull up.
It only holds 17,000 people, I believe.
Let me pull up the attendance in both of those games.
Yeah, I was thinking 17, something like that.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
15,928.
Oh, 15.
The last game, and 15,952 the first game.
Yeah, that's a big crowd for the Oakland A's.
Right.
They know, but so not for the Padres
and
Dodgers.
I imagine that has something to do with it feeling, having a little bit different feel. The other thing is as Chris brought up, they have each side is a cheer section that the cheerleaders will spend. I think they spend half of the game on the first base side, then they go over to the third base side for the other half of the game, and it's constant cheering. So when you're encased like we were, it really was difficult to kind of determine what was greater, right? Ha-Sung Kim, who got probably the loudest ovation, sounded very similar to some of the other ones. You know what I'm saying? So other than that, though, I enjoyed everything about Korea. I thought it was a great experience for everybody. Padres got a win. We got to have a happy flight on the long flight home. So that was good. I'm so tired of fake baseball, so we can move on from these exhibition games. No more line shifts. No more 800 guys come in. I mean, the Mariners had 21 pitchers.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the regular roster's 26 for everyone out there.
21 right. pitchers. And, you know, I get
and
it.
And they used most of them.
Yes, they did. Yes,
yeah.
they did.
So yeah, that was good on you, though, to do research on all 21 guys before the game yesterday,
Tony.
I would be doing
my job if I didn't do that.
Do we have to have every free agent player out there that makes a ton of money sign in the NL West? Is that now becoming the thing?
Yeah.
First, Blake Snell goes to the Giants. Now, Jordan Montgomery goes to the Diamondbacks. And this division is getting tougher and tougher and tougher as we go along. And
we're thankful the Rockies have decided to not participate.
Well, they added Cal Quantrill. I don't want to demean him.
See, we got.
Don't want to demean the
Blake
former Padre.
Snell, Yamamoto.
I know. Blake Snell, Otani, Yamamoto, Otani. Michael King, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Jordan Montgomery
and Cal Quantrill. What doesn't fit there?
I mean,
anyway,
I'll let you.
Matt Chapman.
Yeah, don't forget about. Listen, to your point, NOS is not a joke. At the very least, you got four solid teams.
I think they could all finish over 500.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it would take a whole lot for that to happen.
And with you not playing your division as much, you're not going to beat up on each other as much.
Is it possible if the Phillies get out of the way that the NL West could have all three wild card teams?
That would be wild.
Wouldn't that be something? The Phillies are kind of the fly in that ointment, because them and the Braves are going to be very tough to unseat in the NL East. But I don't think anybody in the Central will get a wild card. They usually don't. So, who knows? Maybe the Diamondbacks, Padres, and Giants could all get one.
Yeah.
That would be.
The Central, somebody always surprises you in the Central. At least one team comes to the forefront and kind of This
well, somebody's got to win the division right. just by process right. of elimination.
Right. So. That, you know, there's a lot going on. There's so many interesting storylines in baseball. Before we get to break, one of the stories that kind of, I don't know, was it last week that Chaz Chisholm was on the pivot and was
yes, so it was 7 days ago, but for some reason, I'm just finding out about this, like, today.
Everybody's just finding out about it today.
Well, he went on the pivot with Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder. And Fred Taylor.
Okay.
And he was asked about his first 3 years in the league, and he said it was the worst time of his life. This is just a little bit of clip of what he said, and I'll get into who he was talking about after.
I'm like, I was already a team leader without being called a team leader. But the vets, you can't be a team leader when you got guys in the clubhouse that's been in there for 9, 10 years. Even though they suck, they've been there for 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
And the team calls them the team captain, but, like, they're not a good captain. They're not a good person. You're not even a good athlete at this point. Yeah. You're just here.
Yeah. And
wow.
Jazz really had some things to get off his chest.
Apparently.
And I'll tell you, I think it was 2 years ago when they came here, I was hearing little rumblings about this particular situation. Him kind of feeling like it was beyond, at least in his mind, you know, what normally goes on between a vet and a young player. He thought it was kind of going a little further than that.
So you're saying that normally they make the veteran players captains. What he's saying is, just because you're a veteran player doesn't mean you deserve to be captain.
That is what he was saying.
Right.
And at the time, nobody really, I mean, I knew who he was talking about, but he didn't mention any names, and I think he purposely didn't mention any names. But the Dodgers' Miguel Rojas, who was there for about the same amount of time he was insinuating and was one of the team captains, came out today. He said he was upset by the criticism. And now people around baseball kind of knew who Jazz was talking about.
So people in baseball knew this was Miguel Rojas. But then now that Miguel Rojas has said so, everybody knows it was Miguel Rojas.
Exactly.
Because none of us knew that beforehand.
He spoke to Yahoo about it. And he was upset. He wasn't upset about the little jab about him not being a good baseball player. Because ultimately that's an opinion and he's used to that type of deal, but
right.
he was upset about the attack on his character. And I can't say that anybody would feel differently about it, because Jazz said he wasn't a good person.
Right. He did say that.
And that, I think that's the part that got under his skin. And, you know, this is one of those things that we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, those two teams play each other 6 times this year. It's not pitcher hitter type deal, so I don't think there's going to be any fisticuffs. But
you could have a little protection from one of your pitchers against Jazz Chisholm.
You definitely could. Now I'll say
somebody
this.
In Dodger blue might take exception.
I've heard Jazz talk about being, I don't want to use the word bullied. I think we use that word often now, but certainly felt like he was being picked on by some of the veteran guys or in that clubhouse, because, you know, his swag is a little different. He's a very
he comes in hot.
He comes in hot.
Yeah.
But there is a certain tact that you have to have when you are talking about these situations, and you know, a lot of times when a young guy is already a leader, he certainly doesn't have to voice it himself. It's just kind of acknowledged in the way he goes about his business. And so Jazz has been pretty vocal here as of late, certainly hoping he could stay healthy this year, because he's talented when he's on the field. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field. I know Miguel, he's not at least in my experience with Miguel, he's not a bad person at all. There's an age gap and there's a generation gap between those two guys.
How old is Jazz?
He's in his mid-20s now.
He's young.
Oh, he's okay. Well, yeah, there's a definite gap. And we know that because our generation is like Rojas' generation.
Right.
And there's a sure gap.
There's definitely a gap. And I think that's the tough part for teams and baseball in general, is that gap. How do you bridge it? There's a dance that you got to kind of, a way you have to move in order to reach that gap that is clearly there. You know, hopefully that this will all kind of just wash under. You just don't. I hate to see fellow players going at one another that were teammates at one point in time. But Jazz certainly felt he had something to get off his chest. Miguel felt like he had to respond to it a little
bit.
And
Ryan Clark was like, thank you.
Ryan Clark was just like, this is the tea I wanted for my show.
Yeah, why doesn't any of these athletes say kind of that stuff on our show? Come on.
Yeah.
Need somebody to...
Well, if I could have got Jazz Chisholm, do you think he would have said that on our show?
I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. He might not have been comfortable enough. Who knows?
He sounded pretty comfortable on that podcast. He didn't really sound like he was hesitating too much.
He was going at that point.
Yeah,
all right.
These guys are veterans, and they suck. Wow. All right.
He makes a point, though. Just because you've been on the team doesn't mean you should be a captain.
That is a fair point. This jacket has got to come off. I know it's...
Oh, people want you to model it first.
Oh, you want me to model it first?
Yes, they want you to sway them on whether or not to buy it.
It's a cold jacket. That's why... Not cold, literally. Like, it looks good.
Do you want the wig with it?
The wig might mess up the jacket a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It is a nice jacket.
Understand that if you buy that jacket, and if, for those who can't see, it's a City Connect colored Padre jacket. But understand if you buy it out there, I'm just saying, it's not going to look good on you as it does on Tony.
I don't think so.
Everything looks good on you. You wear the bucket hat. You wear these other crazy things.
You're the only one
that can get away with this stuff.
What I would give to be able to pull off that bucket hat.
I know.
I think it's made for him.
I told you, it looks like a doily on my head.
What?
A doily? Isn't that what those little things go on
That's
the table?
That's what they are.
They like go underneath like coffee cups in restaurants.
Doilies.
Piece of paper. They're like a doily.
You are a doily.
It looks like a doily. It's like on the top of my head, and it...
Anyway. A doily.
Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome back to the studio, Tony.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing you've been missing.
All right, let's get to
doily
break.
Talk.
CBS Sports' very own Matt Snyder, friend of the show, joins us next. We'll talk Padres, Dylan Cease. We'll talk this one-year deal for Jordan Montgomery and all of the Boros. Right, what we say? How you say it?
Boros.
I say Boros.
Okay, all of the Boros clients. When we return, more Gwen and Chris.
At this time tomorrow, you'll be enjoying the Padres' home opener right here on 97.3 The Fan. Padres taking on the San Francisco Giants to kick off 2024. Big day on 97.3 The Fan. It all starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning at Rick's Baja Cantina. Ben and Woods broadcasting live, followed by Andy and Elston, followed by Sammy Levitt and his award-winning Padre pregame. You got Aztecs on the mind. Padre pregame show gets underway at about 12 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know that he's won any awards for the pregame show, but he should. So I'm just going to call
it. Like a Marconi or something?
Huh?
Do Marconi awards get
given out for
radio?
A Marconi award for Sam Levitt's pregame show. Tony and Jesse on the broadcast. Followed again by Sam Levitt and the postgame show tomorrow afternoon. Followed by Scraby and I taking you deep into the night as the Aztecs will take on UConn starting at 4:30. We'll be on during that game. And if you've ever watched me watch an Aztec game, you'll want to tune into YouTube and enjoy. We'll also be on for a couple of hours after the Aztec game tomorrow night. So big day here on 97.3 The Fan tomorrow. Big day right now because our guy Matt Snyder from CBS Sports joins us. And first of all, Matt, we appreciate it. You're always so kind to our show, and we love having you on talking baseball. I did check out your preseason picks this morning. And, you know, Matt Snyder, he's usually bullish on the Padres. And I saw that you once again have them qualifying for the postseason. What makes you think so, Matt?
Well, I mean, these things are a crapshoot anyway, right? I think I had to... I'm pretty sure last... Okay, well, here's the funny thing. Remember 2021, I remembered we did this, and I had them out of the playoffs, and then they made the... No, it was 2022. I did not have them in the playoffs, and then they made the NLCS. And then last year I had them, like, winning the World Series, and we know what happened there. So I don't know. I'm trying to go in the middle, I guess, here. Look, they were much better than the record indicated last year. I think we've been over that. A lot of that was the situational hitting. It kind of took on a life of its own to the point that it was almost exaggerated. But the one-run record, the extra innings record, they were a much better team. They go out, they trade Juan Soto, they lose Josh Hader and Blake Snell to free agency. Oh, they're going to get way worse. Well, I don't know. I think there was a lot of improvement that was coming. Make the trade for Dylan Cease there. Hopefully that can replicate some of that production from Snell. You expect more out of Musgrove and Darvish anyway. You know, I think Machado is going to be better. I think Tatis is going to be a monster now that he has shaken the rust off and he's fully acclimated to a new position. On and on we go. I think that the improvements are going to more than cancel out the takeaways, I guess. So mid-80s in wins, mid to high 80s in wins, and sometimes that's good enough to get you to the NLCS, as you well know.
Just ask the Arizona Diamondbacks who got to a World Series. Matt, obviously the deal the Padres made that I think last time we talked, it might have been before the season, before spring training actually kicked off. And I think all of us were under the assumption that AJ Preller was going to do something. And per usual, he did something that I don't think anybody was expecting. He goes out, he gets Dylan Cease in a deal. I mean, what did you think of that particular deal and how much better does it make that rotation?
I thought it was a really good deal. I know he has his ups and downs. The funny thing is, I know he's right-handed and Snell's left-handed, but they're similar in that Cease will walk a lot of guys. He will also strike out a lot of guys, and that means he's going to be inconsistent. But when he's on and he's going well, he finished second in Cy Young voting in the American League 2 years ago. Now, last year he took a step back, but again, it's the Snell roller coaster. It's going to be similar to that, but he can be so, so, so good. And you're looking at potentially three ace level pitchers at the top of that rotation and Darvish, Musgrove and Cease. Now, obviously there are question marks with everybody. I think less so with Musgrove, but still there are question marks with all three, but the upside to those question marks is an emphatic yes, it's going really well. So I like where things stand. He has really, really good stuff. Yeah. I do think when he's on, he can work deeper into games than Snell. But for the most part, for people who are maybe unfamiliar with him listening to the show, I generally speaking would just picture a right-handed Blake Snell.
I literally had that in my head. He is a right-handed version of Blake Snell. He's got some walks. He got like the most swing and misses you can possibly have over the last 3 years. Great call there, Matt.
Well, that's why we bring Matt Snyder on. He makes great calls.
Well, you didn't even need me. Tony was going to say it, so I just wasted time. You could have gotten right to it.
Well, we do have to make do without you for months at a time, so that's why Tony's able to fill in nicely. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. You know, I agree with everything, and I think a lot of Padre fans agree with what you're saying, that, you know, it just figures they're going to be a little better this year. The one concern that I would have is looking at the rest of this division. My goodness, we already know with the Dodgers, they don't even have to deal with them, but, you know, now Arizona signs Jordan Montgomery to go along with Eduardo Rodriguez and all of the guys that they, Suarez and everybody else they brought in, Jock Peterson. The Giants added Blake Snell. They also added Matt Chapman. It seems like every free agent, it's like a rule. They have to come into the NL West. You know, how good is this division going to be, Matt?
Very. I mean, other than the Rockies, obviously. It's kind of unfortunate in a way for the other four teams that it's not still the ridiculously unbalanced schedule, because then you could feast on the – well, then again, I guess you don't have to play each other as many times, so then you get maybe NL Central teams more. So the landscape of the National League, I think, shakes out like this. I think that it's pretty obvious the Dodgers and Braves are going to win their divisions. I think that the Phillies are going to be the best non-division winning team, so they're, especially with the West teams beating up on each other. So I think you're pretty well set with 1 and 2 seeds, whatever order the Dodgers and Braves will be, and your 4 seed in the Phillies. NL Central up for grabs. I like the Cubs more than the other teams, but I think you could make an argument for any of the 5 teams there, but I also don't think that the wild card is coming out of there, and that leaves 3 teams in the NL West who I think are all definitely contenders for 2 wild card spots, and the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Padres. And it's what 2 teams from that group are going to play the best. All of them have question marks. All of them have issues that could be their Achilles, but they're all talented enough to make a deep run in the playoffs. So it's going to be fun to watch. Probably more fun for me than you guys at times without a horse in the race to just enjoy it. But I would say with those three teams, there will be a lot of nerve-wracking moments over the course of this season, because that's how I think it's going to be. Then again, I could be wrong. Yeah. But the interesting thing about the Montgomery to the Diamondbacks thing was they probably had no interest at all in him. And then Eduardo Rodriguez got hurt. And now it's like, okay, the pitching thins out now awfully quick, to the point where it's like last year where it's Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen and then Brandon Pfaadt and then bullpen games or Ryan Nelson. So they go out and they get Montgomery. He's probably going to take him like a month to get acclimated. By the time Rodriguez gets ready to come back from the lat, it might be about a month. All of a sudden, pretty formidable five-man rotation there. Yeah. And they added power in Eugenio Suarez and Jack Peterson. They're intriguing. So it's going to – and, of course, the Giants, they're going to struggle with pacing their pitching together at the start of the year. The offense might not be great, but they seem to always overplay what their roster looks like, and they win more games than you think they're going to win. And by the end of the year, once they get Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb back, could be a really killer rotation there. I mean, with between Logan Webb and Blake Snell, if by the end of the year Robbie Ray looks like his old self, that's, you know, two Cy Young winners and Logan Webb, who I picked to win the Cy Young this year. So they could be really strong by the end of the year.
Yeah, but all Padre fans will tell you that Bob Melvin doesn't know what he's doing based on last year.
Sure.
So, you know, we don't really have to worry.
Can't make them situationally hit.
It's funny, because if we were playing a game of tell me you were in Korea without telling me you were in Korea, I had no idea Eduardo Rodriguez got hurt. No idea.
Okay.
On top of that, it just broke about 30 minutes ago that Jordan Lauer, their top Diamondbacks top prospect shortstop, he's going to be out to 8 to 10 weeks with a thumb surgery he sustained during a spring training game. So a lot of question marks, as Matt has mentioned. Matt, I got to ask you, there's a lot of hubbub right now. A lot of people kind of, you know, boasting a little bit about Scott Boras and his clients not getting what they want. I tend to look at this as a one-off. It seems like every so often Scott has a few clients that don't get what everybody suggested that they would get. Now, all the other years, they get that and some. Is this one of those years that's a one-off, a weird free agency year?
Probably. Yeah, probably one of those. Like, right past the top tier of Ohtani and Yamamoto, there was just it was just so many question marks. You could look at Cody Bellinger, he was really good for the Cubs last year, if not great, but he was terrible the last several seasons for the Dodgers.
Touche.
And they were trying to act like those never happened. And, you know, we've talked about Snell with the inconsistency. Montgomery, really, really good down the stretch last year, but before he got traded to the Rangers, he was kind of a mid-rotation guy at best. And when he got traded at the deadline, there was hardly any fanfare around that move at all. So Matt Chapman, probably the best defensive player in baseball, but, you know, and he was amazing for the first 6 weeks offensively last year, but he was awful, just awful after that offensively. So, like, there were questions about everybody. I do want to say this, though, because I've been accused of being a Boras apologist in the past.
Have you?
I think on balance, I think he's usually great. He's usually amazing at getting the job done. But on balance, I think you have to say this offseason, He kind of got his butt handed to him. I think he got beat.
I think,
you know,
many...
and he overplayed his hand with several of those guys, and it seemed like the way it sounded, almost like teams thought he was playing Montgomery against Snell, and that kind of hurt Montgomery. I think he got beat with those four guys.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would be more than happy to agree with you on that one.
I would love to get beat and still get my client $62 million, though. It's
exactly.
Not awful.
Yeah.
It's not like he's hurting. Matt, let me ask you about the Ohtani thing. I mean, this is going to be hanging over baseball all year, certainly hanging over the Dodgers. Yeah. I don't think it's fair to ask whether you believe him or not. I don't know that anybody really knows exactly what happened here. The fact of the matter is, I mean, how much does he really commiserate with his teammates anyway? You know, I mean, he's got the whole language, the whole language barrier. Is this going to be able to get inside the Dodger clubhouse, or is this going to be overblown by the media to a certain extent?
I'd be surprised if it's that big of a deal. I mean, this is a locker room that constantly has guys who draw so much media attention, and they went through Trevor Bauer stuff a couple years ago when they've had to deal with questions about that still probably. So I'd be shocked. You know, it's hard for me to imagine veteran pros like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman getting shaken up by anything. And they're the leaders. And once Clayton Kershaw comes back from injury as well, these guys are pros and they've been through everything. And well, not necessarily this, I guess. They've been through most things that you can experience as a professional. I mean, remember when Freeman went to the Dodgers, there was that whole supposed beef between him and Acuna. So, you know, I think once you get on the field, it's probably not much of an issue. I could totally be wrong, but I would be surprised if this really derails them as a team.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. Matt, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll do it again at some point during the season.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
You know, one of the things I was thinking of is in this particular free agency, because as Matt highlighted, there were a bunch of question marks. This wasn't like having Bryce Harper coming into free agency where he's just got numbers on top of numbers that say he's as consistent as can be. All of these guys had their flaws, including Blake, right? I mean, Blake, for as good as he was last year, all year pretty much, we had seen him the previous two seasons struggle for a half before he got going. And it just dawned on me, like, this is like the perfect time to have those type of clients, right? Because in the age of social media and quick highlight clips, you could forget that there was some of these warts that some of these guys had, because you're constantly like being beat over the head and with your phone and of the positive stuff, the highlights that you see all the time. So I think that's part of the shock that, you know, Blake didn't get what he was looking for, that yeah. Montgomery didn't get what he was looking for. As Matt said, Montgomery struggled the first half. He was unbelievable, like from, I think, June on. But there was when you go into the free agency, you want a long-term deal, teams are like, well, I need to see like a little bit longer track record of
teams
this.
Had a little better memory than they normally did.
No doubt.
Dodgers and Will Smith, 10-year, $140 million contract extension today.
Get your cheese.
Dodgers are certainly not out of money. We'll come back. Daily Gambit kicks off hour number two. At this time tomorrow, you'll be enjoying the Padres' home opener. Right here on 97.3 The Fan, Padres taking on the San Francisco Giants to kick off 2024. Big day on 97.3 The Fan. It all starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning at Rick's Baja Cantina. Ben and Woods broadcasting live, followed by Annie and Elston, followed by Sammy Levitt and his award-winning Padre pregame. You got Aztecs on the mind. Padre pregame show gets underway at about 12 o'clock tomorrow. I don't know that he's won any awards for the pregame show, but he should. So I'm just going to call
it. Like a Marconi or something?
Huh?
Do Marconi awards get given out for radio?
A Marconi award for Sam Levitt's pregame show. Tony and Jesse on the broadcast. Followed again by Sam Levitt and the postgame show tomorrow afternoon. Followed by Scraby and I taking you deep into the night, as the Aztecs will take on UConn starting at 4:30. We'll be on during that game. And if you've ever watched me watch an Aztec game, you'll want to tune into YouTube and enjoy. We'll also be on for a couple of hours after the Aztec game tomorrow night. So big day here on 97.3 The Fan tomorrow. Big day right now because our guy Matt Snyder from CBS Sports joins us. And first of all, Matt, we appreciate it. You're always so kind to our show, and we love having you on talking baseball. I did check out your preseason picks this morning. And, you know, Matt Snyder, he's usually bullish on the Padres. And I saw that you once again have them qualifying for the postseason. What makes you think so, Matt?
Well, I mean, these things are a crapshoot anyway, right? I think I had this. I'm pretty sure last year. Okay, well, here's the funny thing. Remember 2021, I remembered we did this, and I had them out of the playoffs, and then they made the – no, it was 2022. I did not have them in the playoffs, and then they made the NLCS. And then last year I had them, like, winning the World Series, and we know what happened there. So I don't know. I'm trying to go in the middle, I guess. Look, it's They were much better than the record indicated last year. I think we've been over that. A lot of that was the situational hitting. It kind of took on a life of its own to the point that it was almost exaggerated. But the one-run record, the extra innings record, they were a much better team. They go out, they trade Juan Soto, they lose Josh Hader and Blake Snell to free agency. Oh, they're going to get way worse. Well, I don't know. I think there was a lot of improvement that was coming. Make the trade for Dylan Cease there. Hopefully that can replicate some of that production from Snell. You expect more out of Musgrove and Darvish anyway. You know, I think Machado is going to be better. I think Tatis is going to be a monster now that he has shaken the rust off and he's fully acclimated to a new position. On and on we go. I think that the improvements are going to more than cancel out the takeaways, I guess. So mid-80s in wins, mid to high 80s in wins, and sometimes that's good enough to get you to the NLCS, as you well know.
Just ask the Arizona Diamondbacks who got to a World Series. Matt, obviously the deal the Padres made that, I think we last time we talked, it might have been before the season, before spring training actually kicked off. And I think all of us were under the assumption that A.J. Preller was going to do something. And per usual, he did something that I don't think anybody was expecting. He goes out, he gets Dylan Cease in a deal. I mean, what did you think of that particular deal and how much better does it make that rotation?
I thought it was a really good deal. I know he has his ups and downs. The funny thing is, I know he's right-handed and Snell's left-handed, but they're similar in that Cease will walk a lot of guys. He will also strike out a lot of guys, and that means he's going to be inconsistent. But when he's on and he's going well, he finished second in Cy Young voting in the American League 2 years ago. Now, last year he took a step back, but again, it's the Snell roller coaster. It's going to be similar to that, but he can be so, so, so good. And you're looking at potentially three ace level pitchers at the top of that rotation and Darvish, Musgrove and Cease. Now, obviously there are question marks with everybody. I think less so with Musgrove, but still there are question marks with all three, but the upside to those question marks is an emphatic yes, it's going really well. So I like where things stand. He has really, really good stuff. Yeah. I do think when he's on, he can work deeper into games than Snell. But for the most part, for people who are maybe unfamiliar with him listening to the show, I generally speaking would just picture a right-handed Blake Snell.
I literally had that in my head. He is a right-handed version of Blake Snell. He's got some walks. He got like the most swing and misses you can possibly have over the last 3 years. Great call there, Matt.
Well, that's why we bring Matt Snyder on. He makes great calls.
Well, you didn't even need me. Tony was going to say it, so I just wasted time. You could have gotten right to it.
Well, we do have to make do without you for months at a time, so that's why Tony's able to fill in nicely. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports. You know, I agree with everything, and I think a lot of Padre fans agree with what you're saying, that, you know, it just figures they're going to be a little better this year. The one concern that I would have is looking at the rest of this division. My goodness, we already know with the Dodgers, they're going to have to deal with them. But, you know, now Arizona signs Jordan Montgomery to go along with Eduardo Rodriguez and all of the guys that they, Suarez and everybody else they brought in, Jock Peterson. The Giants added Blake Snell. They also added Matt Chapman. It seems like every free agent, it's like a rule. They have to come into the NL West. You know, how good is this division going to be, Matt?
Very. I mean, other than the Rockies, obviously. It's kind of unfortunate in a way for the other four teams that it's not still the ridiculously unbalanced schedule, because then you could feast on the – well, then again, I guess you don't have to play each other as many times, so then you get maybe NL Central teams more. So the landscape of the National League, I think, shakes out like this. I think that it's pretty obvious the Dodgers and Braves are going to win their divisions. I think that the Phillies are going to be the best non-division winning team, so they're, especially with the West teams beating up on each other. So I think you're pretty well set with 1 and 2 seeds, whatever order the Dodgers and Braves will be, and your 4 seed in the Phillies. NL Central up for grabs. I like the Cubs more than the other teams, but I think you could make an argument for any of the 5 teams there, but I also don't think that the wild card is coming out of there, and that leaves 3 teams in the NL West who I think are all definitely contenders for 2 wild card spots, and the Giants, Diamondbacks, and Padres. And it's what 2 teams from that group are going to play the best. All of them have question marks. All of them have issues that could be their Achilles, but they're all talented enough to make a deep run in the playoffs. So it's going to be fun to watch. Probably more fun for me than you guys at times without a horse in the race to just enjoy it. But I would say with those three teams, there will be a lot of nerve-wracking moments over the course of this season because that's how I think it's going to be. Then again, I could be wrong. Yeah. But the interesting thing about the Montgomery to the Diamondbacks thing was they probably had no interest at all in him. And then Eduardo Rodriguez got hurt. And now it's like, okay, the pitching thins out now awfully quick to the point where it's like last year where it's Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen and then Brandon Pfaadt and then bullpen games or Ryan Nelson. So they go out and they get Montgomery. He's probably going to take him like a month to get acclimated. By the time Rodriguez gets ready to come back from the LAT, it might be about a month. All of a sudden, pretty formidable five-man rotation
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And they added power in Eugenio Suarez and Jock Peterson. They're intriguing. So it's going to, and of course the Giants, they're going to struggle with pacing their pitching together at the start of the year. The offense might not be great, but they seem to always overplay what their roster looks like, and they win more games than you think they're going to win. And by the end of the year, once they get Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb back, could be a really killer rotation there. I mean, with between Logan Webb and Blake Snell, if by the end of the year Robbie Ray looks like his old self, that's, you know, two Cy Young winners and Logan Webb, who I picked to win the Cy Young this year. So
wow. Yeah.
They could be really strong by the end of the year.
Yeah, but all Padre fans will tell you that Bob Melvin doesn't know what he's doing based on last year.
Sure.
So, you know, we don't really have to worry.
Can't make them situationally hit.
It's funny because if we were playing a game of tell me you were in Korea without telling me you were in Korea, I had no idea Eduardo Rodriguez got hurt. No idea.
Okay.
On top of that, it just broke about 30 minutes ago that Jordan Lauer, their top Diamondbacks top prospect shortstop, he's going to be out to 8 to 10 weeks with a thumb surgery he sustained during a spring training game. So a lot of question marks, as Matt has mentioned. Matt, I got to ask you, there's a lot of hubbub right now. A lot of people kind of, you know, boasting a little bit about Scott Boras and his clients not getting what they want. I tend to look at this as a one-off. It seems like every so often Scott has a few clients that don't get what everybody suggested that they would get. Now, all the other years, they get that and some. Is this one of those years that's a one-off, a weird free agency year?
Probably. Yeah, probably one of those. Like, right past the top tier of Ohtani and Yamamoto, there was just it was just so many question marks. You could look at Cody Bellinger, yeah, he was really good for the Cubs last year, if not great, but he was terrible the last several seasons for the Dodgers.
Touche.
And they were trying to act like those never happened. And, you know, we've talked about Snell with the inconsistency. Montgomery, really, really good down the stretch last year, but before he got traded to the Rangers, he was kind of a mid-rotation guy at best. And when he got traded at the deadline, there was hardly any, you know, any fanfare around that move at all. So Matt Chapman, probably the best defensive player in baseball, but, you know, and he was amazing for the first 6 weeks offensively last year, but he was awful, just awful after that offensively. So, like, there were questions about everybody. I do want to say this, though, because I've been accused of being a Boras apologist in the past.
Have you?
I think on balance, I think he's usually great. He's usually amazing at getting the job done. But on balance, I think you have to say this offseason, He kind of got his butt handed to him. I think he got beat.
I think,
you know,
many...
and he overplayed his hand with several of those guys, and it seemed like the way it sounded, almost like teams thought he was playing Montgomery against Snell, and that kind of hurt Montgomery. I think he got beat with those four guys.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would be more than happy to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, well,
I would love to get beat and still get my client $62 million, though.
It's exactly.
Not awful.
Yeah.
It's not like he's hurting. Matt, let me ask you about the Ohtani thing. I mean, this is going to be hanging over baseball all year, certainly hanging over the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to ask whether you believe him or not. I don't know that anybody really knows exactly what happened here. The fact of the matter is, I mean, how much does he really commiserate with his teammates anyway? You know, I mean, he's got the whole language, the whole language barrier. Is this going to be able to get inside the Dodger clubhouse, or Is this going to be overblown by the media to a certain extent?
I'd be surprised if it's that big of a deal. I mean, this is a locker room that constantly has guys who draw so much media attention, and they went through Trevor Bauer stuff a couple years ago, when they've had to deal with questions about that still, probably. So I'd be shocked. You know, it's hard for me to imagine veteran pros like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman getting shaken up by anything, and they're the leaders. And once Clayton Kershaw comes back from injury as well, these guys are pros, and they've been through everything, and well, not necessarily this, I guess, but they've been through most things that you can experience as a professional. I mean, remember when Freeman went to the Dodgers, there was that whole supposed beef between him and Acuna. So I think once you get on the field, it's probably not much of an issue. I could totally be wrong, but I would be surprised if this really derails them as a team.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. Matt, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll do it again at some point during the season.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
You know, one of the things I was thinking of is in this particular free agency, because as Matt highlighted, there were a bunch of question marks. This wasn't like having Bryce Harper coming into free agency where he's just got numbers on top of numbers that say he's as consistent as can be. All of these guys had their flaws, including Blake, right? I mean, Blake, for as good as he was last year, all year pretty much, we had seen him the previous two seasons struggle for a half before he got going. And it just dawned on me, like, this is like the perfect time to have those type of clients, right? Because in the age of social media and quick highlight clips, you could forget that there was some of these warts that some of these guys had, because you're constantly like being beat over the head and with your phone and of the positive stuff, the highlights that you see all the time. So I think that's part of the shock that, you know, Blake didn't get what he was looking for, that Montgomery didn't get what he was looking for. As Matt said, Montgomery struggled the first half. He was unbelievable, like from I think June on. But there was when you go into the free agency, you want a long-term deal, teams are like, well, I need to see like a little bit longer track record of
teams
this.
Had a little better memory than they normally did.
No doubt.
Dodgers and Will Smith, 10-year, $140 million contract extension today.
Get your cheese.
Dodgers are certainly not out of money. We'll come back. Daily Gambit kicks off hour number two.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.